Now, what I've been talking about and what we're going to be looking at for the next couple of weeks is something I've called the supernatural life. The supernatural life. And the background to that is just to tell us and to highlight that, look, the Christian life is a supernatural life. It is not just a form where we come to church like this on a Sunday. Sometimes when we have breakfast, we have like the real nice full breakfast. We read Bible scriptures, which is great. We, you know, discuss the Bible, we pray, we sing, and that's just the end of it. It's a lot more than that. And I think one thing I always say is this: if the Christian life or being a Christian is just about doing good works, which we should, if it's just about being a nice person, which we should try and be, then we might as well just join the Rotary Club or UNESCO. Not that I have anything against the Rotary Club or UNESCO or any of those organizations. They're doing a great job. But what I'm just saying is that the Christian life is more than that. It is not just about doing things on a routine basis. It's a lot more than that. And that's what I'm talking about. So what I'm saying here and what we'll be looking at is the fact that the Christian life is a supernatural life. That's what distinguishes it from, if I can use the word loosely, a lot of other religions. It's not just about doing things. It's more than that. It's supernatural. And we have a God, our God, who is in heaven, who we can actually communicate with, as funny as that might sound sometimes. So that's the basis of what we're talking about. And along this series, which I'll be taking for the next couple of weeks, I've sectioned it into different areas. And I'm going to make it like as practical as possible concerning the things that I've experienced as well and the things that are in the Bible. So I'm just going to summarize what we did 2 weeks ago before I go into what I really want to discuss this morning. Now, the first thing I mentioned was that as a Christian, just recapping from the last time, under this topic of hearing the voice of God. So we're looking at, how do we hear God's voice? Does God speak to us? You know, how does that work? I mean, what does that really mean? And I think the conclusion we came to was that, yes, God actually speaks to us in various ways. And we'll be looking at those ways as well. I gave some examples last time, but I'm just going to recap from what we said last time. And I said, as a foundation to hearing God's voice, the first thing is the fact that we must believe that, number one, God wants to speak to us. I've met a couple of people who would say, well, you know, what do you mean God wants to speak to you? I mean, what do you actually mean by that? Well, that's what I mean, that God wants to speak to you as a Christian. He wants you to discern his voice. So one of the things we mentioned was the fact that, one, God wants us to hear his voice from a relational perspective. God wants to communicate with us. And the reason why God wants to communicate with us is because he wants to have a relationship with us. And like I mentioned, the Christian faith is not about just doing things or trying to be good. No. So if that's the perspective that we have, we need to put that perspective aside a bit for today and just look at what the Bible says. So the first thing is that God wants us to hear his voice for relationship. And we looked at the book of Philippians chapter, we won't turn there, I'll just quote mention the scriptures, Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. And we looked at, that's the story of Paul. We looked at Genesis chapter 5 verse 27, talking about Enoch. So God wants to have a relationship with us. I was just saying as well, how strange would it be if, for example, like you've got my wife sitting down here, if every day, you know, she woke up and I woke up and I just looked at her and I said, bye. And I just walked off, went to work, and I came back. And, you know, she's like, oh, hello, Pastor Benson. I said, and I go, well, she doesn't call me Pastor Benson, actually. She calls me something. And she goes, and I go, bye. And that wouldn't be a very good relationship. Do you understand what I mean? But that's how oftentimes as Christians we relate to God. Because one challenge is that because we don't see God physically, we often think that look, because we don't see him, then he's not, you know, he doesn't really want to talk to us. So you have God every day, if I can use that allegorically, saying, look, I didn't send Jesus to die for you guys so that you could just roll along life doing what you want. Yes, I want to have a conversation with you every day. So it's a case where a lot of us as Christians, we do exactly the same thing to God. God's in the waiting for us, and we wake up in the morning and God wants to hear a voice. He wants to talk to us, and we just look at him allegorically now and we just say, bye. We're going like that. And he's like, can I get a word in there? And it's like, bye. God wants to talk to us from a relational perspective. So that's the first thing. Now, the other thing that I mentioned from a starting point is that apart from the fact that God wants to talk to us from a relational perspective as well, there's certain things that we need to agree on as Christians before we can begin this conversation with him. And that's the first thing. The first thing is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 begins to tell us something. It says that we must first of all believe that God exists. We must have faith that God wants to actually talk to us. It's one thing saying, okay, all right, God is there. Yeah, God will talk to that special person down the road. God will talk to that, you know, person, but I'm not quite sure God wants to talk to me. So the first thing we want to establish from as a foundation as well is that, look, Hebrews says that God wants you and I to talk to him. He wants us to hear his voice. So that's one thing that we need to kind of like settle first of all, that God is not saying he wants to talk to the person who is sitting next to you alone or only, or that special person. No, he wants to talk to you as an individual. So we need to get that, you know, we need to settle that as well. Now, the other thing I mentioned about discerning God's voice is from the book of John chapter 10, verse 27. John chapter 10, verse 27. Now, John chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible tells us something there. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. This is Jesus talking. And if we look at the King James Version, it says, my sheep hear my voice. My sheep hear my voice. So this was Jesus talking to his disciples. So what we see here is that God is not saying that as a Christian, he may talk to you. He's not saying as a Christian, maybe if you try hard enough, you can hear his voice. No, he's not saying that. He's saying that really, as a Christian, you hear his voice already. You hear his voice already. And someone put it this way. As we are now, I'll just make an example. The radio waves all over us. So if you have like a little radio, in those days, they used to have this little transistor radios that you had to tune the frequency. I don't know, I think there's like internet telephone radio now, so you can just connect to websites. But there are these transistor radios. I don't know if you guys have it down in New Zealand though. they're really old, where it's like battery powered, and you find that you would have to like tune it. Or if you have a car radio, you have to like really tune it to a certain frequency so that you can actually hear what that channel is saying. So if it's like the FM or MW, you're actually tuning that radio to hear that channel. So it's not that frequency just began to exist when you started tuning the radio. No, it's there already. So that's what Jesus was saying here, that you hear his voice as a Christian. The only thing is, we don't discern it. And what do I mean by we don't discern it? We're not properly tuned to it sometimes. So what am I saying here? So I'm saying God wants us to hear his voice for relationship. we need to understand that we need to have the basis that he wants to speak with us, and we already hear his voice as Christians. So that's one. Now, the other thing I mentioned a couple of things about how do we hear God's voice. And I said, when I say how do we hear God's voice, I'm talking about from the perspective of a radio tuning into a frequency. I'm not saying that we're just trying to get God to speak to us. No, he speaks already. So we're tuning our radio, so to speak, to really hear his voice. Now, and I spoke about a number of things. I spoke about how God speaks to us through the Bible. We looked at John chapter 6, verse 63. Don't worry, we won't turn there. I'll just mention that. That he speaks to us through the Bible. That as we read the Bible, God speaks to us. I gave us some examples. I said that God speaks to us through visions and pictures. So in our mind, God speaks to us through pictures. And I gave some examples. And maybe I'll give a couple of other ones today. God also speaks to us through spontaneous thoughts. It might be that, you know, you're just going somewhere and you're not really thinking about something and it just flashes to your mind. I'm not saying it's God that does that all the time, but that's one of the ways that God talks to us. Then the other one I mentioned was that God talks to us in dreams. And we looked at, I think I mentioned Numbers chapter 12, verse 6 to 7. All right, so those are the things that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago. And we now said, okay, look, how do we grow in understanding what God is actually saying to us? And I mentioned a couple of things, but one of the two things I mentioned there was that we have to practice listening to God's voice. And for that one, we looked at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. And Paul said something interesting in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. He said something about becoming more mature. He says, I'll just read the second part. Okay. It says, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Now, what Paul was saying there in the Bible is this, that the way we begin to discern voice, God's voice is as we, well, maybe practice is not the correct word, but I think it's the nearest thing. As we practice, as we listen, as we make an effort to actually tune our hearts to that, then we can hear. So those are the things that I spoke about the other 2 weeks ago. Now, today I'm just going to be looking at one or two things, still on the hearing the voice of God, then we'll close. So what I want to speak about today is how do we actually discern God's voice? And what do I mean by that? How do we know that it's God speaking to us? How do we know that it's God that is actually saying something to you? Because the Bible tells us that in this world, there's so many voices. Some people might say, oh, I hope that chap is not schizophrenic, or what's that word, where you hear voices. No, I'm not talking about schizophrenia. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God actually speaking to us. Now, how do we know? We'll look at two things. The first thing is that anytime we think God is speaking to us, we have to judge it by what the Bible says. Judge it by the word. Now, if we look at Psalm 138, verse 2, I'll look at the second part. Psalm 138, verse 2. And it was saying here, it says, I will bow down towards your holy temple and I will praise your name for your love and your faithfulness. Now, the part I really want to focus is this. It says, for you have exalted above all things your name and your word. Now, what that tells us, or what that implies, is that anything that we think we hear that's not supported by the Bible, or let me just put it the other way, anything we hear, we need to really support it by the Bible. Some people might say, well, I heard God say I should go and kill that gentleman down the road. Well, what you would just tell them is that, well, if I look in the Bible, God says in the Bible that he hasn't come to destroy men. He has come to save us. So you straight away know that that's out of character. God will never tell anyone to do that. So that's why I'm saying that, again, anything that we perceive that we're hearing, we need to run it through the Bible to see that it's actually, you know, supported by what the Bible says. I mean, so that's one thing. And another passage for that is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, but we won't go into that. So we have to look at the Bible and see what it actually says to see that, well, this thing that I think I'm hearing, does it actually, is it in line with what the Bible says? And if it's not, just know that, well, that's not God speaking to you. It's just maybe your mind or just something else. Now, the other thing as well, which is, again, linked to the Bible, is this. And that's from the book of John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. And again, this is still, how do we discern God's voice? How do we know it's God that's speaking to us? It says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. It says, we have seen his glory and the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, what this is describing is that Jesus Christ came into this world and became flesh. That's old English for he became human. But the Bible describes Jesus Christ as the Word. As the Word. And I made a reference 2 weeks ago that, you see, we can read the Bible, like you've got the Bible here, and it's words, all right? But the Bible is not just words, so to speak. You can read it academically. You can say, okay, like, you know, you have people who are like professors in Bible studies and stuff like that. Anybody can pick up the Bible and read it academically and say, okay, da-da-da-da-da-da, and just go through it. No, that's one way. But really, the essence of the Bible, this Bible I'm holding in my hand, is life. The words in the Bible, they're actually God's words and they're life. Let me just give us an example. Say, for example, I mean, I don't know why I'm referring to like years and years ago. Before the advent of the internet, I happened to be around by then, you know, not this internet generation. And in those days, we didn't have email. And we had this concept called having a pen pal. Have you ever heard anything like pen pal? Now, what that meant was that if you were living in Australia or New Zealand or China, and I was in England, I could become your pen pal. No internet, no Facebook and all that. So I wouldn't, you know, be able to communicate with you that way. And what people would do in those days is that they would, you know, say, okay, do you want to be my pen pal? They would get in contact with that person and they would communicate by writing letters. So you'd write a letter, hello, Harry, or hello, John. I hope it's hot and humid there. The kangaroo's running over around here. What's it like in England? Is it snowing? Put a stamp on it, chuck it in the post. Wait for 2 weeks. Harry writes back and says, oh, it's not snowing in England here. It's Christmas. My parents have refused to give me this toy that I wanted, but it doesn't matter. I'll wait for next week. And, you know, you chuck that in the post again and you go back and forth that way. And they were your friend. The person was called a pen pal. Now, if someone who was not in that conversation came along and they just picked up a letter that maybe you wrote to Harry in New Zealand or Jane in China, and they just picked it up and they said, oh, what's that? New Zealand, Harry, ugh. Doesn't make a difference to them. But you who Harry wrote the letter to, you read it and like, you're like, oh, this is so interesting. Snow in New Zealand. And you're like, mom, dad, I don't know if it snows in New Zealand, you know. It's like, snow, you know, and you take this letter and you're like, mom, you know, being a 10-year-old or 11-year-old, oh, it's snowing in New Zealand. And you, you know, like almost in tears, you know, oh, I wish I could go to New Zealand. Do you understand? Reading the same letter. So what makes the difference there? The difference is that to one person who has no idea of what's going on in that conversation, it's just like, oh, this is odd. They shut it. No effect at all. And the other person who is actually involved in this relationship or this friendship with the other person, and they read the same letter, and it can evoke certain emotions in them. It can invoke certain responses from them. Do you understand? It's the same thing with the Bible. If we have a connection with God, we can read the Bible and it will seem like, I'm not saying God is our pen pal, so to speak, you know, PS there. But also, it's almost, if I can use that analogy, I can read the Bible and it can evoke certain things in me. I'm just like, oh, my goodness, this is because I have that relationship with God. And because I'm not seeing the Bible as an academic book. Do you understand? And someone else could pick up the same Bible and is like, doesn't even make a difference at all. Do you understand? So why am I stressing on the Bible like this? I'm saying, using this analogy as well again, we need to be able to discern or to judge if it's God really speaking to us from the Bible. Now, what do I mean by that? Let's put it this way. Say, for example, sorry, you guys have to excuse me because there's a New Zealander here, so I just have to keep using that. Sorry, I'm just... So, say, for example, my wife went to China, right? And I'm here in the UK. And, you know, we're writing because there's no internet and all that. And we're just, you know, exchanging communications that way. Now, if someone came to me and said, oh, I met your wife in China. Maybe I don't really know them. And your wife said that, your wife said certain things. Maybe, for example, she said your favorite food isn't, I won't mention my favorite food here so we don't get. And the person says certain things that my wife said or says certain things about my wife. Now, if that person says certain things that are not in character with my wife because I know her, what's the first thing I would say? Or say, for example, someone says something about your friend that you've known for a while and what they've said is absolutely is not the friend that you know at all. What would you say? What would be your first thinking? What would be your first impression? Without even investigating the matter at all, what would be your first inclination? It's not true. Or something is not quite right here. Do you understand? Now, how come you would come to that kind of conclusion that something is not actually right with what this person is saying? Yes, because of the knowledge that you have of that person. Do you understand? Just because of the knowledge you have of that person. So what I'm saying here is, now if we say, like as we practice listening to what God is saying to us, if we hear anything in our minds that appears out of character from who we know God to be, then we need to say, hang on, I'm not quite sure, I don't think that's God at all, and just leave it alone. So what I'm saying here, what I'm focusing on today is the fact that, look, God does speak to us, but it takes time. It takes our wanting to know God more, spending time reading the Bible as a letter to us from God. Do you understand? So that as we read the Bible, not from an academic perspective, but from a heart perspective, we will begin to know God more. And when we hear anything in our minds and in our hearts, we can begin to say in ourselves, I don't think that's God speaking to me because it's out of character. It's not what the Bible says about God, and it's not what I know about God. So that's how we begin to discern God's voice. Now, I'm going to close in a couple of minutes with the last point. So, if, and you know, one thing I mentioned, you know, 2 weeks ago when we started this topic was this. It is so, let me not use the word easy, because if I say easy, it almost kind of like diminishes the, you know, speaking, how God speaks to us. But you guys just permit me to use that. It is so easy. God isn't complicated at all. God is not as complicated as a lot of us make him out to be. Some people will tell you that I've met quite a few people who, when you mention church or you mention God, what comes to their minds is that, oh, hang on, is, you know, I have to be this, I have to be that, that my neighbor that annoys me all the time, I have to stop throwing things at her before I can be accepted by God. Or hang on, you know, I actually met a young lady as well the other time I was talking. And I said, we're talking, I said, you know, have you heard about God? Have you heard about Jesus? And she told me point blank, and she said, look, yes, she's heard about God. Yes, she's heard about Jesus and all that. But in her current state, she feels she's so bad. And once she can, you know, clean herself up, so to speak, then God will accept her. And I smiled and I said, no, that's not the way it works. That's like putting the cart before the horse. That's an American term. What I said is discerning God's voice. So we've looked at the fact that whatever we hear God speaking, we judge from looking at the Bible. If it's out of character, then we know that it's not God speaking to us. I'm just going to mention a couple of things now, and then we'll pray. What are the things? So if this is the case, then why is it that maybe a lot of Christians don't see things in this perspective? Maybe a lot of Christians don't hear God's voice, in quote, or don't even think we can hear God's voice. Do you understand? Why does that happen? That would be a subject for another day. But let's assume that you believe with me that God actually speaks with you, speaks to us as Christians. What are the things that affect our hearing of God's voice? What are the things? Now, you'd be so surprised that it's the same things that affect your relationship or your friendship with your friend. I'll mention three things, then we'll pray. Now, the first thing I want to look at is in the book of Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. I'll mention three things. The first is this. If we're going to have that relationship with God where we can actually begin to discern his voice, it depends on one thing primarily to start with. It says, again, Matthew chapter 13, verse 45. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking godly pearls. Next verse. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Now, what is this saying? This is saying that developing the relationship with God where we begin to discern his voice depends or will depend on the value we place on that relationship, on the value that we place on God. So what that means is that from a friendship perspective, if you really value your friend, you will make the effort to go out of your way sometimes, even when you're busy and all that, to call them, email them, or text them. Do you understand? So the value that we place on God, on that relationship with God, goes a long way. It will determine how far we go with that. Do you understand? So that's one. Now, the next thing is from the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And another thing that might, you know, really affect our journey with starting to hear God's voice is a busy schedule. And the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 4 verse 19, it says, but the worries of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires of other things come in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful. So what this is saying is that if you have a really busy schedule like every other person has, and you don't make that commitment to say, look, even though I'm as busy as as ever, I'm going to make time to communicate with God, then it's not going to happen. The last thing that I'll look at is this. And that's from the book of Luke chapter 10 and verse 30, 8 to 42. So the last thing I'll say, there are several other things that could affect our relationship with God in terms of hearing his voice, and is this. I'm not going to read the story. So if you look at 38 to 42, this is a story of of two women called Mary and Martha. And for one of them, their sisters, one of them was so caught up in doing things, in quote, for God. And the other person, the other sister, was focused more on relating with God. And Jesus said something quite peculiar there. And he told the other sister that was running up and down, Martha, that look, why are you so concerned about too many things? He now goes on to say that, well, Mary has found, the better thing. So what do I mean by that? If as Christians we're running all over the place, which we should sometimes, and we're, in quote, doing things for God, but we don't take time out to relax and spend time with God, praying and getting to know him, then having that relationship where we can actually hear his voice becomes really, really challenging. And that's where I'm going to stop today. I'll just ask us to bow our heads and let's just pray for a minute.